Our last case this morning is 13-544, State of Ohio versus Amanda Straley. For the appellant, we have Mr. Kinsler.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice. May it please the court, if I may, I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time.
Thank you.
The case, State v. Straley, comes before the court on a certification of a conflict between the 2nd and the 9th districts. The issue certified to the court is whether, in the case of tampering with evidence charge or conviction, is it necessary that the evidence in question relate to the investigation that the official or the law enforcement officer is undertaking. And it's state's position, our position today, that the answer to that question is no, at least in the is the understanding of related to means for the second district in its opinion. In its decision in Straley, the second district took the view that the language in the statute, which pertains to the purpose of the defendant, that his or her purpose was to impair the value of the evidence in such investigation, I believe is the exact words used. The second district position was that meant that the law enforcement officer had to be investigating the defendant for the particular crime to which that evidence was relevant.
Counsel, let me just ask you, in the circumstances of this case, this gal had a bag of drugs.
Cocaine, yes.
It was cocaine. And she told the police officers, it was a traffic stop, that she needed to go in a private area and relieve herself, correct?
That is correct.
At the same time, she drops the bag of cocaine.
That is correct.
Okay. Are you arguing that she was required to keep that bag of cocaine in her pocket or purse?
I would argue that she's not required to keep it in her purse. I would argue that her conduct in dropping, I believe she actually testified, I could be mistaken, that she had it concealed in her garments. I think she actually took the stand in her own defense and claimed that the baggie of cocaine was concealed in her underclothing and fell, and it was an accident, and the jury
okay,
was not
persuaded. Okay, so you're saying that she was required to keep it right where it was?
I would argue that when she is in the position that law enforcement, she's in the company, in this case, of law enforcement, they've stopped her for potential suspicion of DUI.
Right.
I would argue that under those circumstances, she was not entitled to attempt to conceal or hide that evidence. I don't think it was simply a matter of she dropped it or by accident.
No, I'm not saying accident. I'm saying intentionally make it so law enforcement cannot find her bag of cocaine. That is obstruction?
Tampering with evidence.
Tampering with evidence.
Under these facts, yes.
This wasn't a case where you were watching a hand-to-hand buy, for example, where the purpose of the stop was to gain evidence of trafficking. This wasn't related, and that's where you talk about the statute, talking about such investigation. Evidence in such investigation. It's not any type of evidence. We're talking about evidence that's related to something that is ongoing, aren't we?
To clarify, these were drug detectives. They were plainclothes and they were in an unmarked vehicle. They pulled her over, not for any belief that she was involved in drug trafficking or drugs, but because they saw her driving behavior so erratic that they thought she was intoxicated, they thought she was a danger, they pulled her over.
So they became traffic officers at that point?
In a sense, they did. But when they pulled her over, they discovered, I guess basically they didn't have sufficient evidence to proceed with any sort of OVI charge, but they did find that she didn't have a license. Having found she didn't have a license, they couldn't release her to simply drive her car off. She could not find someone to come and pick her up. So they were making efforts to get permission from their supervisors to actually give her a ride home, and that sort of extended this traffic stop, and that led her to excuse herself, basically, to go urinate.
But counsel, at that point, with all those facts before us, there was no investigation at that point for this individual to have drugs, was there?
Correct. I would say there wasn't an investigation of her for drugs. However, they were investigating the detective when he observes her after they've had a dialogue where she's insisted she needs to urinate. They say, no, you can't. We're in a public area.
I understand. My direct question, though, is if there is no investigation for drugs at that time, how can you tamper with evidence of an investigation that has not started?
I believe that first of all, I think the statute states that it doesn't just have to be an investigation that started. It can be an investigation that's likely to be instituted. It states position, when she excuses herself to go urinate and basically attempts to hide the drugs on the ground, at that moment, she makes a statement to the officers, I don't care if you have to arrest me, I have to do this. The detective, I think in his own words and his own testimony, he kind of keeps an eye on her out of the corner of his eye, but he does give her some space. And once she's done, he goes over to inspect the area. Well, at that point, based on the statement she's made, I believe she knows there's going to be an investigation, not of drugs, but of her conduct in that location at that time. That was, I believe the detective said, he thought it was...
So he was going to conduct an investigation of public urination?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. No, I don't believe so. I believe what he was doing was he thought her behavior was bizarre. So he went over there to see, had she in fact urinated? I don't believe it was their intention to ever charge her. In fact, they didn't charge her with, say, public indecency or disorderly conduct, just like they didn't charge her with driving without an operator's license that day. What I think struck the detective was it was bizarre that he has told someone, you can't urinate here, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to wait, and that person basically disregards his statement and goes over, excuses herself a short distance away, and then did what she did. He thought that was suspicious, and he investigated that suspicious behavior. And that, I think, means that the drugs in this question relate to that investigation.
Okay, so he wasn't investigating her at the car. He wasn't investigating her when she was outside of the car for drugs. The only thing that gave rise to an investigation was her relieving herself in a distant area, right?
Her actions in relieving herself in public, I think, triggered the suspicions of this detective that something was going on, possibly something beyond simply her urinating in public, yes. Part of what I think is the issue is what is an investigation? The statute also contemplates tampering with evidence in an official proceeding, tampering with evidence.
A little lost. How do you tamper with evidence if you lay it out on the ground for the cops to find? I mean, to me, that's not tampering. That's almost assisting a police officer.
I'll point out in the Second District's opinion, they addressed the issue of whether she was really concealing this or not, and they found, in fact, that she was. And they drew a distinction between this case and other cases where courts have found that if the defendant is 2 yards away from a police officer and he drops some drugs on the ground, he's doing it right in front of him. There's really no effort to conceal. Here, the facts were different. I believe it was dusk. She excuses herself some distance away, and her efforts certainly didn't succeed, but I don't think that the fact that she failed in her efforts to conceal that evidence in any way prevent her from being convicted with tampering. I believe what she did was she took them from one place of concealment, took the drugs from one place of concealment, and attempted to conceal it on the ground.
But you would admit that they were not going to search her.
I don't believe so.
Trying to find her a ride back to her home.
Correct.
Impound the car.
Correct.
And so there wasn't going to be a search. She wasn't going to be subject to drug dogs or anything like that.
Correct.
Isn't this just a question of mismatch of the statute to the activity? I mean, she could have been charged with possession of cocaine, correct?
She was charged with, I think, possession and trafficking prior to trial.
But isn't this similar to the Malone case where we found that you don't intimidate a witness before that person is actually a witness, before there's a case where you can say the case investigation is going on, so this person is a witness? We have a problem here in that there wasn't such investigation to which the evidence relates. Isn't that the problem here?
Well, I believe the court's holding in Malone were dealing with tampering with a witness or witness intimidation, and I think the distinction you draw there is in the witness tampering, you have to have the actual initiation of a criminal proceeding. Here we can have tampering with evidence where you have an investigation, and I guess what you sort of first responded or the first component of your question was, it sort of gets to the heart of the issue, is the does the actual evidence have to match up to whatever the police are aware of in terms of criminal activity at that point? And my argument would be no, number one. Number two, I would point out that investigations are kind of an elastic, amorphous thing, whereas in Malone, you're dealing with a criminal procedure. When a criminal procedure is begun, there's a complaint filed or there's an indictment. We know the date of the, you know, the date of the offense is spelled out, the nature of the offenses are spelled out, who the defendants are spelled out. Often in the case of municipal court complaints, the witnesses are listed and there's, you know, an affidavit with a summary of the facts of the case. Investigation is the process by which we learn all those facts. So by their nature, investigations, we don't necessarily know what
crimes about occurred. The word such? Such investigation. We're not talking about any investigation under the language of the statute, are we?
I believe we're talking about such investigation, meaning the investigation that she knew to be in proceeding or about to be proceeding, and she knew when she walked over there that there was going to be an investigation into her conduct at that moment. I don't think that an investigation by its definition only applies to, you know, certain criminal offenses.
So you would rewrite it to mean contraband or anything that the defendant thinks may be an evidence in an investigation at some point?
No, I would not rewrite it. I would just say that when we say such investigation, what the statute means is the investigation that is about to be implemented. And, you know, so far as does the evidence have to relate to that investigation, I would say the investigation in this case wouldn't relate certainly to her public urination or in public indecency or what have you. It relates to the fact that it was criminal conduct that she was undertaking at the time that the officer was in a position to sort of partially observe, but not observe in entirely. But I mean, it all took place, her urination and her disposing of the drugs all took place at the same time in the same location. Basically all the facts and parties are identical, and in that way I think it relates to that investigation, even if it didn't relate to the actual potential crimes the officer is aware of. Many investigations are undertaken by police departments or by law enforcement officials when they don't actually know what the actual crimes are, the crimes occurred. They just have whatever information they have. For example, if they hear a scream in the night or something of that nature, and they respond to an area where they hear that scream, they don't necessarily know what sort of crime has taken place. The investigation is the process by which they develop that information and determine those things. And I believe,
Mr. Kinsler, this case comes to us on a conflict between the second and the ninth appellate district. And the ninth district case was the driver having been pursued through a bottle of pills or some sort of contraband drug from the window of the car. And the court there said that that could be the subject of a conviction for tampering. Is that a common use of this statute for indictment in your experience?
In my experience, one of the things we commonly see with tampering is a situation where, yes, someone's in a traffic stop and they try and dispose of it, or someone's being arrested and there's a, I believe it's a Mulder case.
And does that emanate then from the concealment of that contraband from the investigating officers?
Correct.
Is that the nature of the offense?
Correct.
And wouldn't that necessarily then be an allied offense of simply possessing that drug or possessing those drugs in those instances?
No, I believe this is sort of similar issues raised in the tampering with witnesses case, it certainly could have just been charged as aggravated menacing. Here, they're two distinct acts. The act of possessing the cocaine is one crime. The act of her disposing of that cocaine is another crime. Mm-hmm. And if I've addressed your question, that those are two different acts, and those are the statute addresses each of those separately, I believe, or the two statutes address each of those separately.
So you just simply think that the Second District has this wrong?
I think they're taking
What is the legal issue that you want us to try to resolve here?
The legal issue we're trying to resolve is the conflict between these two courts or two districts, in the sense of, do we have to establish that the evidence in question, the police already had suspicion of that sort of criminal activity before the person tampered with that evidence.
And what is your line of analysis that we follow? Is this a grammatical, as Justice Lansinger points out, trying to define such proceeding or such investigation, or is it, does it transcend that?
I believe it kind of comes back to what is the definition of an investigation. The Second District is taking the view that since when the detective sees her excuse herself and go urinate. The only investigation he could possibly have contemplated was investigations related to that, like public indecency or disorderly conduct. And I would submit to you that investigations don't work that way. Investigation is, I think, often begin very broad and narrow as they go, as facts are developed. And the way the court looks at it, we're almost looking at the mental state of the officer instead of looking at the mental state of the defendant, which I think is what the statute intends for us to do. Look at what their specific intent, their purpose was when they took the action they did to conceal the evidence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, this court is asked to interpret a statute that was written by the General Assembly, and in that statute, as Justice Lanziger pointed out, there is a specific language that requires that tampered with evidence be linked to an investigation into that specific evidence. The rule of lenity applies here, and just as this court did in Malone, this court must look at the statute strictly against the state and liberally construe it in favor of the criminal defendant. Ms. Straley here was not the subject of an investigation. She was pulled over for a traffic violation, was investigated regarding that traffic violation, and was determined to be fine to go home by the police officers. They set out to find her a ride home, were unable to do so, and the police officers knew that she was intoxicated. So her intoxication presumably led to her need to urinate, and she expressed this need to the police officers. When she did so, she left the presence of the officers in the dark. It was about 9 p.m., and went about 20 to 30 feet away from the officers and urinated. She dropped drugs at that point. This is not about whether she possessed illegal drugs. She pled to and was convicted of drug charges related to that possession. However, there was no ongoing or likely investigation into any sort of possession of drugs in this case. I would ask that this court look at how this relates to witness intimidation as it was in Malone, where witness intimidation required a context. You have to have the context of a official proceeding in order to have that particular criminal offense. There are other criminal offenses available in a situation where you threaten another individual, just not witness intimidation. Similarly, perjury. You have to be testifying at court for that lie to be perjury. Lying to a police officer would be obstruction of justice. The same applies here. In order for any sort of contraband to be subject to evidence tampering, it must be within the context of some sort of investigation.
Would it make a difference here if your client had been driving, threw the bag out the window while she was driving, and then the police stopped her and, you know, go back a short distance and pick up her bag?
I think that the answer to your question depends on whether the police officers were going to stop her for anything prior to her dropping that.
No, they were in pursuit.
They were in pursuit. So they were pulling her over. No, there's no distinction.
Although that's not what the Ninth District held in, what is it, Skovornik?
Correct. The conflict issue is about the interpretation of this particular statute. If the statute is to be amended, it's not for this court. It's for the General Assembly to change the language. However, the language as it is now requires the context.
Well, I see a distinction here between Skovornik, is that it was a pursuit and he throws pills out the window. And so there was no conclusion to the officer's investigation at that point, whereas for your client, the purpose for which she was pulled over and the investigation that was attendant to that had terminated. You don't see that as being a distinction here?
If that is a distinction, then this case was improvidently allowed and there shouldn't have been a conflict determined, because that's about a factual interpretation, which is left to other courts besides this one.
Wouldn't it have made a difference if there had been if the police had seen a buy, for example, a hand-to-hand, and were following the car and then saw the cocaine thrown out the window? The investigation then would have been for trafficking, and the evidence that was tampered with, if you argued it was tampered with, could be considered part of the investigation.
Yes, it's a felony level offense that's only available if there's an investigation going on. If you possess drugs, that's another, well, depending on what amount, felony or misdemeanor level offense. And so the criminal code provides for crimes for these things. It's just that this one, the way it is written, requires that it be in the context of an investigation. There's a slippery slope that's created if you allow the state's interpretation to hold, whereas any contraband is always subject to investigation. That just can't simply be the way that this law is meant to be applied, because if someone perhaps was a drug user for a period of their time and then decided to quit and they want to flush their drugs, just by flushing those drugs, because they were illegal contraband, they committed a felony level offense. There didn't even need to be a police investigation in that. If a police investigation were to occur and it were happening across the street of a different crime, but you're 20 years old and you're drinking a beer in your house and the police knock on your door and you obscure from their vision your beer, you're committing a felony level tampering with evidence, because if the state's interpretation of the law stands, any investigation and any obstruction or any sort of concealing of a thing that's a crime, evidence of a crime, would be this felony level offense. So I would say that this court should follow what it did in Malone and look to the statute using the rule of lenity and not go any further than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel? You may take a minute.
Thank you. Just to sort of address the slippery slope argument, state's position, if the court adopts state's position, nevertheless, someone flushing drugs down a toilet, absent investigation, still doesn't run afoul of the statute. The statute still contains the first element that the person in question, the defendant in question, know that an investigation is pending or about to be instituted, and that his purpose, the third element, that his purpose in doing what he did and concealing the evidence was to prevent its utility in that investigation. In a situation where someone just simply flushes drugs down the toilet, our statute, I don't think, begins to apply. The issue, or the distinction, I think, is here in Straley and in Skorvenek, we have investigations ongoing. They may have been investigations into different subject matter. In Skorvenek, it was speeding. In this case, it was this public urination. But there are investigations, nonetheless, of the defendants at a particular time and place when they happen to be in possession of drugs. And in both cases, the individual, the defendant, decided to conceal or dispose of those drugs in an effort to
but
not get...
But one of them was completed and the other was an ongoing investigation.
In Skorvenek.
In Skorvenek, he was driving along and he tossed the drugs, the heroin and some pills, onto a tree lawn. And in your case, the investigation had terminated.
In our case, and I think even the Second District conceded this in their position, that once she excuses herself, she says, I don't care if you have to arrest me, that once she excuses herself and she goes and urinates, there's an investigation at that point. The detective decides to go over and inspect the area because he finds it suspicious. And I would argue that, assuming for the sake of argument there have been no drugs or no contraband found, if he's simply gone over and either confirmed or not confirmed that she had urinated, that was an investigation, even if it didn't lead to criminal charges subsequent to that.
All right, so you do view that as a second investigation? Let's just, it's not part of the first investigation. It's a new investigation.
Yes, that's. I would argue that's a distinct, that once you...
Because I'm trying to figure out here, you need an ongoing investigation, I would think, in order to have this statute apply.
Well,
an active investigation.
Or an investigation about to be instituted. And as I would say, once she elects to urinate, she knows that when she makes her statement, I don't care if you arrest me, that that's possible criminal conduct that she could be charged with and arrested and presumably
taken.
But
even if she were being investigated for, say, disorderly conduct, the tampering statute talks about her purpose to impair the availability as evidence in such investigation. So the cocaine is to be the evidence of the crime charged or the investigation into the disorderly conduct. And the two don't link up, do they?
I would argue they link up in that when an officer's doing an investigation, he may begin that investigation with one purpose. And as he continues the investigation, as he develops more information, for example, like in something like Scorbunek, when he pulls the person over for a traffic violation, he would later find drugs on that person. I mean, that's a very common fact scenario with an investigation where the police contact begins with something like, say, a traffic offense, and it leads to other charges. I would argue that when the police pull someone over for a traffic offense, when they then find drugs in their car, those aren't really two investigations. That's one investigation of that person's criminal conduct that day that led to multiple charges.
So if there, instead of crack cocaine, it had been a gun, and it turns out that she doesn't have a permit to carry the weapon.
If the
that
facts
would
were
be the same, you'd have the same argument then, that that would be tampering with evidence?
Yes, because she had disposed of the firearm in an effort to prevent it from being used in that investigation to develop information as to what actually crime she committed that day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will take the matter under advisement. Ladies and gentlemen, you will be notified of our decision.